Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Flow Track Podcast. I am Kevin, remote, joined by Gordon, who's also remote, harkening back to the olden days. We're not in the same room. We're not even in the same house. We're in a bit of a lull in the track and field season. Mr. Mack, how you doing?
Yeah, we're timing our transitioning of studios with the transitioning of the track and field world going from a vibrant Diamond League once a week to nothing now for like 3 weeks before World starts in mid-August. So we're kind of taking it easy here, you know, chilling out. We're moving our podcast to 6 p.m. these next three podcasts, and then we'll be going live after every Worlds at, I think it's 3 p.m. Central is when Worlds is over every day. So that'll be, man, if we were doing a podcast like when it was in Beijing, when Worlds was like 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. Central, yeah. That would have been hell. I'm happy. I'm happy when Worlds is at a normal time. So I'm very appreciative of that.
We also appreciate the people watching live on YouTube. And if you're watching live on YouTube, you can watch Gordon try to podcast into the sun. I've never seen this before in all the video podcasts out there. Gordon's basically like playing center field for the Yankees on a 2 p.m. start date. Oh, what? Yeah. Nope, now he's covering. You don't have blinds, Gordon? What happened?
I have no blinds.
Blinds in the Mac Hassel? Oh, wow.
There are no blinds in my office.
I like it.
No blinds in my office.
It kind of adds a different dimension to the show. I'm enjoying it. Speaking of YouTube, should I check to see if me pulling up YouTube and reading the comments is going to crash my computer or not?
It probably will. So maybe I'll just bring up the comments.
Are you going to be in charge of that then?
I can be in charge of it. How do you do it? What's the process of reading the comments?
YOUTUBE.com, and then you hit return at that point.
You know what I mean.
Look at the good. You know, it gives you a flavor of what people are talking about. And if there's something funny or interesting, I bring it up. I don't necessarily interrupt you unless it's something that immediately, you know, corrects you. But you can bring it up, because while you bring it up, I want to talk about our sponsor, Gordon. Is that okay?
Hit it. Hit me.
Wonderful Pistachios. Are you looking for a delicious and nutritious snack that packs a real protein punch? Crack into a good source of protein with tasty, healthy, Wonderful Pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachios contains 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. It's one of the highest protein nuts out there, but that's not all. Pistachios are known for their fiber and better for you unsaturated fats, which may help keep you feeling fuller longer. And the best part? You thought I got to the best part, didn't you, Gordon?
No, what is it? What's the best part? Tell me.
Here's the best part. Wonderful Pistachios come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on your summer adventures. So whether you're dropping off the kiddos or running between meetings, fuel up with a healthy and tasty snack. Wonderful Pistachios will be your new go-to snack. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Thank you to Wonderful Pistachios for sponsoring. Gordon, did you locate the chat?
I did locate the chat. Okay. And I'm going to start. What?
Sometimes the chat does tech support too. Sometimes the chat will be like, hey, Gordon's mic's off or something like that. So that's why it's also helpful.
I'm going to start by highlighting commentator Trinidad Rodriguez, who said, Asinga is more of a college threat, not elite yet.
Ooh.
He only ran 10:05 2 months ago. I don't know if that's true. I don't think this guy is just a college threat. I think he's a medal contender threat. When you look at the dynamics of the field that we're going to have in Budapest, which we'll get into later on in the podcast, running 989, win legal, beating someone of the caliber of Noah Lyles earlier in the year, Asinga is not just a cool young guy, teenager coming on, surprising everyone's story. You know, all those stories we have of the cool young teenager kid surprising everyone's story. You know, everyone.
Yep.
Everyone knows those stories. Well, he's not just one of those
fan favorites.
He's a legit medal contender, in my opinion. Guy run 9.8. There's not many runners in the world right now running 9.8. Sure, there are people who can hit the 9.7s, but right now there's very few 9.8. He's the fourth fastest time win legal in the world, and he seems like he's only getting better. And he has some legitimate wins over some legitimate athletes, notably Noah Lyles. So, I don't know, seeing this run, 989, we've been waiting for him to get a win legal run at this caliber. I think he's going to go even faster 3 weeks from now. I think he can be a low 9.8 guy. Now, him meddling is going to be hard. Again, he's only a teenager, but he is someone that for sure the Omanyalas, the Curlys, the Colemans, the Hughes of this world need to watch. He's not going to be there just for fun. He's going to be a legit guy who's going to have a lane in that final who could surprise and maybe get him in.
I think you did a good job summing it up. Now, 989, that's a much different time than 980 or 981.
How but different I think is it? With the, is it like 0.09 different?
Well, you just keep saying he's a 9.8 guy now. And yeah, technically he is. Or saying he ran 9.8 leaves a little bit for interpretation. I'm just clarifying.
Sure.
Still
sure,
a 20 sure, record. Yeah. I was on this show last week. Was it last week? I believe it was last week. Time is standing still a bit. And who did I say could win gold?
Toboga.
In 100. Right. So I would be a hypocrite to be on the show this week and say that Asinga couldn't win a medal, at the very least. Couldn't win a medal. Now, Toboga has more international experience. So, all right, he probably has an edge, even though Asinga just took the U20 record from him. But you have to look at the event that he's entering into, the 100, that has been filled with parity, that has had nobody really assert themselves, nobody drop a crazy fast time. You said if he runs 9.8s, he can be in the mix of the medal. If he runs 9.8, he's going to medal. He's going to medal. I think that's going to be enough to medal given the times that we've seen this year and the performances that we've seen this year. I think if he runs how he's been running, he's going to be right there. Now, an interesting thing to think about with him. He's a high schooler, yes. But has he run a traditional high school schedule? Not really.
No.
Not really, which is good this time of year. Because this time of year, you're looking at how many races they've run. And you're looking at how many times they've really had to go to the well and expend themselves. He hasn't. When most kids were running tri meets in April, he was racing Noah Lyles. He is not a normal high school runner. He beat Noah Lyles. So is he going to run out of gas? Maybe. Maybe it's still a long season for a kid of that age. But he's also not following the same pattern, Gordon, as kids his age.
So he's run 4 indoor races, but really only 2 meets. He ran Milrose in February, and then he ran New Balance Nationals, which was 3 races in the 60. So he ran 2 indoor races, 2 indoor meets. He's run 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 meets at running the 100. and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 meets running the 200. So
right.
He started his season at the outdoor season, end of March at the Florida State Relays. Then he went to run the Florida Relays. He's running a collegiate season. He goes to Florida State Relays, to the Florida Relays, goes to the Hurricane Alumni Invite. Then he starts running in Claremont, going to the Pure Athletics Spring Invite, goes to Lubbock, and now he's running in Brazil at the South American Athletics Championships, where he ran his 989. I mean, also, he ran a 10.03 into a headwind in the prelims.
Right. Okay, but here's the thing. You said he's running a college season, minus a couple things, though. Did he run a conference meet where he had to run five events?
No. Is he running the
4x4? Did he run NCAAs?
No.
Is he running NCAAs? Right. No. The two, what most collegians would consider two of the most taxing meets of the year, he didn't have to run. So yeah, he's not quite a pro athlete, not quite on a pro schedule, not quite on a college schedule, certainly not on a high school schedule. This is a hybrid combination of things that Asinga is piecing together with his coach, and you have to hand it to them because they've been awfully successful. And now we're only a couple weeks out from the World Championships, and he's running faster than he has.
Do you know how many times he's run 9.8 this year?
Well, with wind, it's like three, isn't it?
Four. This is the fourth time.
Yeah, yeah.
He had three other 9.8s, albeit windy. Is it albeit or is albite? How do you say that word? Albeit?
No,
albeit?
You did it right. You did it right the first time. Don't run away from success, time. Gordon.
Okay.
Yeah,
He's run 9.8 four times. Yes.
Yeah.
Most of them are windy, but hey. And it's not like this was a 1.9 wind. This was 0.8. It wasn't even that much wind.
So here's the thing, too. You brought up the other factor, which is the head-to-head stuff. He beat Lyles. He's got a win over Lyles. Lyles made the U.S. team. So that is a win that counts. There's currency with that win. And then he also has the fast times. So right now, I think he is Asam Asinga can win a medal at the World Championships, partly because of how good he is, also in part because of how wide open the men's 100 is right now.
Yeah, speaking of how wide open the men's 100, while Asinga's doing his thing, some of the top guys have been getting some L's. Mm-hmm. Omanyala, who Michael Johnson tabbed as his pick to win the world final.
Yeah.
He's like, he tweets out, Ferdinand Omanyala is going to win it. And then a week later, Omanyala gets a loss in the 100.
Yeah.
We have a video here of that loss. And it wasn't a loss to like a Fred Curley or Coleman or a Simbene. It was kind of a low-key, like, unknown who beat him.
Now, und das war der Startschuss. Well, geht auf die 100 Meter.
Unknown at it when he didn't lose to like a metal guy. He lost to a. Mm-hmm. It takes talent to beat Omanyala, but he didn't lose to a Curly, Coleman, Lyles type. He lost to, you know,
he's on 9.9 this year though.
Yeah, it's a tier B guy. It's a tier B. It's not a tier A. I'll get in trouble again with my tiers, but.
There's
no one.
But what are the tiers this year? No one knows what the tiers are this year.
Well, I have tiers. There's nine people in my tier A, but he's not in the tier. But anyway, he got a loss, which is notable because now he's going into Worlds with a loss as his most recent race. Also, speaking of losses, someone like DeGrasse, who, let's be honest, none of us were thinking we're going to be in the medal contention for the 100.
Yeah.
But DeGrasse not even making. Andre DeGrasse not even making the final at the Canadian National Championships is wild to think about. And he kind of had a wild weekend where he doesn't make the final in the 100. He runs 10.21, doesn't make a final, but then comes back in the 200 and wins it, getting a win over a strong Aaron Brown. His 200 win makes me think, hey, maybe DeGrasse, he is able to anchor that 4x1 for Canada. Mm-hmm. To gold last year. He may be a sneaky medal threat in the 200. So DeGrasse had an interesting weekend. What were your thoughts on Omanyala's loss and your thoughts on DeGrasse's loss / win in the 200?
So with Omanyala, I expected him to win, obviously, like anybody else. But then you look at it in the context of 2023, and I don't think we should be surprised by any of these guys losing. right? There's not that much separation between these tiers. There's not the separation between, oh, this is a Diamond League guy and this is a guy who's a little bit below Diamond League, or this is a semifinalist this year and this is a finalist. So this is a finalist and a medalist. This year in the men's 100, anybody can be beaten, it seems, at any time by a large group of people. For DeGrasse, the 100 follows kind of the pattern. He's been struggling this year and he's, you know, dealing with injuries and stuff. But like you, I'm looking at the silver lining here. The 200, making the Canadian winning the Canadian championships, which is not hard to do, or not easy to do in the current state. Like, Canadian men's sprinting right now is pretty damn good. So to win that one, it's still going to be very tough to crack into that group. But remember, where he won his gold in Tokyo was in the two. Like, the two is where he's reached the pinnacle of the sport. So yeah, it's fun to have another person in the 200. I think we were expecting a little bit more of a challenge from some of the other non-US guys this year, and that ultimately hasn't come to fruition. So it's nice that DeGrasse is stepping in there, giving a little bit more competition. So you could put him in there with Tobogo as one of the guys who could challenge and try to break up an American sweep.
So to wrap up this conversation on the 100, I wanted to create a new game, and you are going to be the first and last contestant of this game. And in order, we need to put stakes in this game. So I'm hoping that you're willing to do a little bit of some wagering per question.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you how many questions? I'm going to ask you 12 questions. Mm-hmm. How many do you think you can get right?
12.
Of the 12. You can go 12 for 12? Yeah, 12. You're not going to get 12 for 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how about this? For every question you get right,
hold on.
You give me it. I give you a dollar. For every question you get wrong, you give me a dollar.
I'm going to ask two follow-ups. Follow-up number one, are these questions that have right or wrong answers?
Yes.
Are these questions where we will have the answer to them tonight?
Yes. I have them written down. They're based on the men's 100. That's the topic.
Oh, well, crap. Then I don't want to bet anything. I thought these were the Gordon medals where you're like, in 6 years, how many gold medals will Asamoah Singh have?
No, this is just talking about the 2023 men's 100.
Okay, okay.
And I got 12 questions. Every right answer you get a dollar. Every wrong answer, you give me a dollar.
Okay.
So you got to go six. You got to go 500, break even.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think six is probably a good number for me, not knowing anything else about the game. But go ahead. Hit me with them.
Okay, you ready for the game? Okay, so you're playing? Dollar wager? Okay, here we go.
I'm in.
First question. Talking about outdoor men's 100. We're not talking about the 200 races, 60s, or anything. Only men's outdoor 100 in 2023. How many losses in finals does Omanyala have in the men's 100?
Four
losses. You got that one wrong. He has four losses. He's 9-4. 9-4.
Okay.
How many losses does Simbene have?
One.
He has three. He's 6-3.
This is an interesting game.
Four for two. How many losses does Kervant Charleston have?
Oof. Well, okay.
In finals only, semifinals and heats don't count.
Well, he can't be undefeated, because otherwise we would talk about him being undefeated. I know he's run some continental tours and he's won. Can I ask one follow up?
Sure.
Well, no, he just ran a Diamond League, right? He just ran in Monaco, and he didn't win that one. I'm gonna say two losses.
Correct. He has two losses. He's 5-2. He's 5-2.
Good, good, good. Okay, keep
going. How many losses does Asinga have?
In the 100?
In 100.
Zero?
Finals only. One loss. He's 5-1.
Who did he lose to?
You
don't have it.
I don't have that information. But
okay.
He has lost. So the point is, Omanyala has four losses, Simbene has three, Charleston has two losses, and Asinga has one. Okay.
Oh, there's a pattern. I didn't identify the pattern.
This is the you should have saw that. All right, no pattern here. There's no pattern here. Zarnell Hughes has run 5 finals. What's his win-loss record?
Man, it's just a lot of win-loss stuff here. 5 finals. What's his win-loss record? Well, he definitely won the one where he ran 983. He won that one in Britain, right? The British champs in the rain. Mm-hmm. He ran that. But I'm going to say he lost everything else. I'm going to say 2 and 3.
4 and 1. Oof.
Oof.
Man. What's Fred Curley's win-loss? 4 of them. He's run 4 times.
Well, he's only lost once, so 3 and 1. That one I know.
Correct. Christian Coleman, 5. He's run 5 times with his win-loss.
Okay, I should know this one. Okay, so he lost. He beat Lyles once. Well, okay, so he lost USA's, obviously, to Charleston.
Yep.
He lost to Akeem Blake. He beat Lyles. I think he lost in New York, and I think he lost in, so he lost in Eugene, he lost in New York, and he lost in Bermuda, and then he won, I think he's 2 and 3.
Correct. 2 and 3. Yes. Noah Lyles.
Is that right?
What's his record?
Hold on. What were the, where did he, did I get the lost locations right? Bermuda?
Yeah.
Eugene and okay. Lyles is win loss record. Are you gonna tell me how many 5 competitions?
5.
Okay, so he lost to Asinga. He lost in Bermuda too. He lost in that race. No, wait, hold on. Yeah, he lost to Coleman. So he lost to lost USA's, lost to Coleman, I know at least once. Lost to Asinga. Has he? Wow, he has to. He won one of the Diamond Leagues. So he's either 1 and 4 or 2 and 3. I'm gonna say 1 and 4.
2 and 3. You got that one wrong. Last one of win loss guessing. Tobogo, 4 races. What's his record in the 100?
In the hunt, I don't. 1 and 3.
0 and 4. He has yet to win 100.
See, my heart said that. My head said no. This is goes to show you, fans, myself included, don't pay enough attention to wins and losses.
All right. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wrong, 3 right. But we're going to make this last one a chance. We'll double the points. So
I feel like I got close on a lot of those. And I'm really Arnold Hughes one, but all the other ones I was really close and I feel like I should
you
get
were,
some credit
but
for.
Here's the thing. Whenever I get close on things, you tell me don't matter. It's a loss. Like, you don't give me credit for being close on all my near misses.
Fair. So, all right, hit me last one.
All right, last question overall. This is for all of it. This is to break even or you owe me $3. Okay?
Got it.
Rohan Watson won Jamaica Trials. Raheem Ford, Forte won. Is it Ford or Forte?
I think it's Fort.
Fort. Got second. And Oblique Seville got third. Who has the most 100-meter wins between the 3 of those guys? Who has the second
Fort.
Most and who has the third most?
Fort, I think, has the most, right?
Has the most wins?
Yeah.
Okay, so he actually has 0 wins. Fort is 0-7. Rohan Watson is 4-5. And Oblique Seville is 3-1.
Ugh.
So the whole
thing. I got
to admit,
I knew it wasn't Seville. I knew it wasn't Seville, so I just took a guess.
The whole point of this game that I'm trying to get at here is there's no true dominant figure. You look at the 3 Jamaicans, Seville gets 3rd, but he's 3-1. And Rohan Watson has 5 losses. He's 4-5, and he won trials. Look at the Americans. Yeah. Everyone has losses. You look at the other international guys. They have wins and losses against each other. And it just makes you realize deciding who you're 3 in the men's 100 is kind of like a toss-up. I think it's a toss-up race. I don't think we can say Curley is 100% the favorite. I think there's no
favorite. No, he's not. He's not. Okay. you did a bunch of questions. I'm going to do two follow-up questions to you. Number one of them is open-ended and one of them has a yes or no answer.
Okay.
First one, open-ended one. Is the men's 100 the new men's 800?
See, that's the thing. I was thinking that. The only thing that's keeping the men's 100 from becoming the men's 800 is
700 meters.
It's 700 meters. And if we don't get a 9.7 in the final, no, if we don't get a 9.7 low, like sub 9.75 or faster, and then it's the 800. Because if we get another just hodgepodge, a couple guys are on 8.3, the final is 8.3, 8.6, 8.9, and it's Hughes, Asinga, Charleston, or Hughes, Curley, Sebene, or Omanyala, Sebene, Coleman, or whatever. You're going to be you're not going to feel like the winner is truly the fastest man in the world. Like there's a good situation. There's a chance that we watch that final and we're like, is he really the fastest man in the world? Or did he just have a good day? And that's what the men's 800 was. Oh, that guy just had a good day. It wasn't truly the best 800 meter runner in the world. Just whoever had a good day. And I am concerned unless we get a true dominant performance where the winner runs in the 9.7s, and we're like, yeah, you clearly are the fastest man in the world. There's a chance that it could be kind of neutered and be like, like I guarantee you the world title, whoever wins the world title is not going to win the Diamond League final.
My second question.
Do you agree with that statement? Whoever wins the world title won't win the Diamond League final? Assuming they
No. win it? I don't.
Okay. Well, I believe that.
I mean, there's a good chance that you're correct, but I also think someone could catch fire a bit towards the end of the season and
fair enough
run off a little. I think what's interesting is it just there's so many possibilities of who could win it, and it's different than the men's 800 because the men's 800 doesn't have this grandiose title of world's fastest man that goes with it. So it's just a very interesting like concept of we could have some like if people thought Jacobs was out of nowhere, the possibilities this year. That podium could get wild. That podium could be insane. I mean, it could be Curley could get it back and then it's no big deal. But there are abilities out there that kind of are a bit out there. My next question, my last question, my final question about the men's 100 and one key participant in it. Asama Singa, is he the boys' high school athlete of the year?
You know, some are saying that there are some other high school athletes who run 337 1500s that may be athlete of the year internally. No, yes, Asinga is athlete of the year. For those who've been listening to the podcast, our colleague Corey Mole posted a poll. Who is the biggest question we need to answer is who's athlete of the year, Asinga or Birnbaum? And I'm like, the guys run 4 flat, little up, sub 4, whatever. That's not the same thing as running 9.8. One is the fourth fastest in the world. The other is like the 180th fastest in the world. So,
have you revisited the poll?
I have revisited the poll. I texted Corey saying, do you still believe this? And he like laughed it off. He's like, LOL, it's just a poll. I was like, no, it's not just a poll.
It's not just a poll to me, sir.
Simeon Birnbaum was in the same category as Asinga, and they're not. Asinga, number 4 in the world. Birnbaum is 176
in the world. At the time, he wasn't. But here's my rule, my shorthand rule is if you beat Noah Lyles, you're in high school, you're the athlete of the year.
Yeah.
That's just that's easy criteria. All right. Before we go any further, though.
He's out AAU Junior Olympics, live on Flow Track all week. Check out all the content. So,
should we talk about Wonderful Pistachios again, or do you want to go to another topic first?
Let's be wonderful.
All right. Hey, I love it. I love it. Wonderful Pistachios. That's our sponsor. The website is wonderfulpistachios.com. The green little wonders that can power up your day. They're a good source of protein, that tasty, healthy, wonderful pistachio. Each 1 ounce serving contains 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. One of the highest protein nuts out there. They're known for their fiber and better for you unsaturated fats. and those help you, those help keep you, excuse me, feeling fuller longer. So, as I said before, whether you're dropping off the kiddos or running between meetings, fuel up with a healthy and tasty snack. The website, wonderfulpistachios.com, wonderfulpistachios.com. Check them out. So, do you want me to take it from here, Gordon, or are you up now?
You take it.
You've kind of been piloting. You've been crushing it. You're like, before the show started, you said, Kevin, just because we're at home doesn't mean anything changes. You're steering the ship. You're the captain. Like, let it roll. And then I think I asked you some question about YouTube comments, and you just took it and ran with it and created a pretty dynamic 27-minute men's 100 opening like salvo. It was incredible. Have you checked in on the chat since then?
No, I probably should do that. What's the chat saying? Oh, they are...
Their mics are off. Uh-oh. You got to read out loud.
Yeah, well, or don't read out loud. Well, you don't... Hold on. Should you, though? Because if I start reading a comment and it's a bad comment, I don't want to commit to the bad comment. I need to read it, confirm it's a good comment, and then read it out loud.
Yeah. Okay, never mind. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Do whatever you feel. No. I'm sure they enjoyed playing the game.
Are they going to show the races? We don't have... they already... What race?
What race are you talking about? Yeah.
Where are we
at? This is a podcast.
It's a podcast.
Yeah. We did show the... We could show some graphics, maybe. We could show some clips from news articles, like the Thiago Braz doping suspension article. I don't think people will be too excited by that, but Thiago Braz.
It's not a podcast unless we talk about doping suspension.
Correct. It's been a little bit, well, not long, actually, because we talked about Amusan and the whereabouts failure and how she's provisionally suspended. Oz is also provisionally suspended by the AIU for the presence of Osterine. He is suspended until a final decision is made. I remember Braz, I mean, he's still actively competing, right? Was vaulting up until, the end of or middle part of July. But obviously that the six gold medalist in a very famous vaulting competition. Rio, in front of his crowd, that battle with Renaud Lavillenie, and he prevailed and got the gold medal. This year, he had vaulted 567 outdoors and then indoors. Indoors, he had vaulted 567. Outdoors, he had vaulted 571. So still very much a player, but is now provisionally suspended.
Yeah, Kevin, your webpage.
I stopped doing that.
You need to work on your internet, man.
Stop criticizing my internet, otherwise I'll close the box right now. So no more webpages for Kevin.
Like, are you playing Call of Duty on like the fourth tab? What are you doing?
You know what I was doing? I'll tell you what I was doing.
What were you doing? I forgot
the name of the drug, so I had to pull up the article to see that it was. I thought it was Osterine, but I wasn't 100% sure. For next Monday's show, I'm just going to have notes on a notepad. Yeah. Forget the computer. It's just going to be me, you, the mic, the webcam, and just a yellow legal pad. I'll write it all down. I thought my computer could handle it. It could not. I'll move on to the Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce story if you want.
Yes. Talk about Shelly-Ann.
Well, this one's kind of – we already knew about this. Someone asked her after her – you know, the most recent race where she ran the 1083 how she was feeling, and she said – and I quote here, if I'm being truthful, it's not 100%, but you know, it is what it is. Talking about the injury that she's been dealing with. My opinion of it is this. She can still win the gold medal. She can still win the gold medal at less than – if she can run on the – now, I'm guessing – I don't think the injury is going to get worse in the next 3 weeks. I think it's more likely that she's going to get better in the next 3 weeks because that was her first race of the year. And I think she can get into the mid 10 sevens. I think if she get in the mid 10 sevens, she could win. And on a good day, she could win gold. So yeah, it's a bummer that she's not 100%, but it's healed enough to where she can go out there and run 10.8. Like 10.8 is still really fast. It's not the fastest she's ever run, but 10.8 is still putting your body under a lot of stress. So she feels like she can still go out there and compete and risk it, because she could sit out the season. She could just say, all right, I got a ton of golds. I'm going to come back. I want to be 100% for Paris 2024. And then I'll see what the future holds after that. But she's not doing it. So the fact that she's not doing it makes me think that she's confident that it will at least hold steady. Maybe it doesn't get any better, but also won't get any worse. I don't know. Again, you're just speculating, but the fact that she's out there is an indication that she at least feels like she can be competitive with the top women in the world.
I looked at this very differently. I read that sentence, that quote, it is what it is, I'm not 100%, as she's not going to win. Yeah, she can still medal 100%, but winning is different from medaling. We looked at this women's field. There's five women who clearly, I think, have separated themselves. Alfred, Richardson, Sharika, Shelly Ann, and Talu. So you could argue, oh, they all have a 20% chance of winning. I would probably give Shelly Ann a 25%, maybe 30% chance of winning, and then give the other four women the remaining 70%. But after this, I think Shelly is more of a
3%
chance. It's not just a quote. She's setting people up. She's letting people know, just so you know, I'm not 100%. So we're prepared for when she gets third. We're like, oh, she remember when she told us a month ago, she's not 100%.
Yeah, that's why. I don't know.
She's letting the story be written to let us know she's not 100%. If she was 100%, she wouldn't have said that. That makes sense.
All right, I got a game.
I think her percentage went in my mind from 30% chance to near zero. And now, if there was only two women, if it was like 50-50, if it was between Sharika and Shelly Ann, and then you'd be like, all right, well, it's a toss up anyway. There's only two women. But there's four other women out there who can run elite times, who have shown consistency in 2023. And some have shown consistency over the past 3 years. I just think that when you have four other women and you're not 100%, you're not going to win. Like that's just math. If there was one other woman and you're not 100%, yes, you could still win. But four, that means you need four women all to run subpar and you to run above par for you. That's just not happening. She's great, but Sharika plus Talu plus Alfred plus Richardson is going to be hard to beat if you're not 100%.
I got a game for you. All right? I came up with this one on my own.
Okay.
The game is called What is Their Record in the 100? Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce, go.
Yeah, she's what, 3-0 or 2-0?
2-0, wrong. Your first guess was 3-0, so that's wrong.
Yeah.
Jillian Alfred, how many wins does she have? We know Jillian Alfred has zero losses. How many wins does she have? Again, I'm going to answer. I can't look it up, so I'm going to answer with what I feel the right answer is.
In the 100?
100. Yeah, how many wins?
1, 2, 3. You can't count prelims, NCAA prelims. 4, 5, 6. She's probably won 6.
Wrong. 27. Next question. Marie
Jose Talu. She hasn't run 2,700 meter dashes.
I said it's not the actual number, but it's what I feel is the correct answer. And I feel like Jillian Alfred's
been running 27. So I'm going up against your feelings? Your feelings are the fact checker here?
Actually, I'm going to try to pull it up on my phone because that won't crash everything.
No, we don't want you to pull anything up. You're right. Don't pull
anything up. No, on my phone. I got my phone.
Your phone is connected to the same internet.
That's where you're wrong, Gordon. You don't know what I do here. Jillian Alfred,
phone internet,
how many wins?
Non-phone.
What did you say? What did you say for Jillian Alfred? How many wins?
I said 7.
Just answer the question. Stop 7. Ducking. You said 67? No, it's not 67.
I said 7.
Okay, hold on. 7 100-meter finals? All right, hold on. It's going to take me a little while.
Okay,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I think. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's 6. Wrong. 0 for 2. Next, let's go to Talu. What's Talu's record? No, let's do Jackson. Here, this one's easy.
You know, this game is not as fun. We already did this game. You're trying to like do a rerun of it's like playing the Lion King in 3D animation. Everyone wants the cartoon, not some virtual CGI shit. You're the Lion King CGI. Whoa. I am Lion King animated.
How many losses does Shrika Jackson have in the 100?
Two.
Four. Wrong. Richardson. Well, you'll get that one right.
What are you trying to get to here? You're trying to show that none of all four of those women are in, are have holes?
No, I'm literally just trying to do the same game that you did, but with the women. That's all it is.
But what's the point?
Just that you are wrong. It's more just to prove that you get things wrong. So I felt bad. I went three. I only got 3 out of 10. So.
Okay. Well, I thought you had a point. The whole point was I said Shellyann saying she's not 100%.
I got a point.
Makes her go down from 30% chance of winning to near zero. And the reason is because there's four other very talented women who are going to take advantage of a subpar Shellyann. And I think that's a very fair take. Shellyann is the greatest. I get it. But we're talking about not 100% Shellyann, according to her own words.
Do you know what I rewatched the other day?
What?
The Usain Bolt rap video featuring Gordon Mack. It holds up. It's really funny still. Now, I know I am the intended audience for that because I work with Gordon Mack and am very familiar with Usain Bolt's work and cover track and field for a living. But it still holds up. It was very good. I forgot. He just sort of dances in that studio for an additional 20 seconds, and I just makes me laugh.
So you're saying that me counting out Shellyann is like me predicting that Usain Bolt's world record was going to get broken?
No. You're reading way too much in everything. It was a complete non sequitur. It just maybe.
Why are you bringing up non sequiturs? It's a podcast. I throw you the ball, you catch it, and you do something with it.
No.
You don't take my ball, kick it into a different category and be like, hey, we're podcasting. No, you're supposed to throw it back to me.
Remember like two podcasts ago, maybe it was one podcast ago, when I was like, I got five questions. You're like, all right, I'd like to take your question, not answer it, spin it around, and talk about something else for 4 minutes. I'm just
– Yeah, I was doing the Harlem Globetrotters of podcasting. I was doing a little spinning on my finger.
Podcasts are born out of non sequiturs. I just thought of it, and it was funny because you were talking about a Jamaican superstar. That's why it popped into my head. Oliver Hoare out of Worlds with an injury, Gordon. This is a bummer.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Posted on his Instagram that he's not 100%. He's going to have to take a break, get healthy. Talked about his injury. Said he had an MRI on – what was his specific injury he was dealing with? I think he said in the previous post. I should have done my research. He said it's a groin issue. Yeah, he said he twisted his pelvis in Oslo. Mm. So then he had to pull out of the London Diamond League, and the groin issue isn't something that he's going to be able to handle through this next month. So he had to pull out of Worlds. It's a bummer. He's had a good post Wisconsin career to date. You know, he's breaking the Australian national record, right? Mm-hmm. He's broken the Aussie record. So I imagine he's going to get ready. He'll be in the mix in 2024. I mean, the 1500 is going to be a hard race to win because Jakob Ingebrigtsen's in the field, but it's definitely not a hard race to medal in. I think he is the caliber to finish a second or a third. I would say that.
Oh, he definitely has a caliber. He definitely has a caliber to do it, but it's a hard race right now to medal in, and it just it feels like it's only getting tougher and tougher because Jakob is making every.
I meant hard in the fact that there's really only one person who's guaranteed a medal, which is Jakob.
All right.
And then the other two are up for grabs. That's what I meant by it.
Copy. I get you. Yeah, and I we talked before about how the men's 1500 represents so many countries right now. Like the medalists, the medal threats, the finalists are coming from everywhere. And I mean, there's other great runners from Australia too. So it's not as if Australia won't be represented, but he was the one who – for a while, he looked like he was the best guy to get a medal, and I think that was the other – well, leading into the finals of 1500, because the 1500 was a surprise, but leading into the finals of 1500, Hoare getting bounced in Eugene from the semis and not making the finals was the biggest surprise. Because I think a lot of people thought he could do what Kerr did. You know, international guy, goes to the NCAA system, actually beat Josh Kerr too, so their times overlapped. And then post-NCAAs could go up another level and then grab a medal. And I think Hoare's like regular season runs have been really impressive. And he hasn't done it in a championship yet, but you don't really get that many opportunities to do it. So he's going to miss another one. But ultimately, he's looking long-term, looking for Paris. And yeah, there's no reason why he can't battle with Nagus, his teammate, Katir, when Whiteman is back, that lot, Chariot, Kipsang. The list goes on and on of the quality of guys who can win a medal in the 1500, and it is a very long list, and he is, when he's healthy, in that group for sure.
I know this is kind of a tangent topic to what I was bringing up, but speaking of all of
my, how the turntables have turned.
We didn't talk about this on the last pod because so much happened from the two Diamond Leagues. But at the London Diamond League, current Wisconsin Badger and fellow Aussie, Adam Spencer, ran 3:31 in a 1500. So the Aussie, also Jackson Sharp's pretty good 1500 meter himself, but the Aussie-Wisconsin connection is pretty damn good. Adam Spencer, 3:31, that is... I'm not sure where that is in the NCAA rankings, but like post, you know, NCAAs, it's one of the top five all-time 1500s by a collegiate athlete. So Adam Spencer, he's only 21 years old. Look out for him and his teammate Jackson Sharp to dominate the NCAA in the 1500. So anyway, big shout out Adam Spencer and Wisconsin. So that's what I wanted to say. That's impressive. 3:31.
Yeah, no, it's great. You're right. It went under the radar because that race was so fast. The Spanish championships, too, were crazy fast. A lot of big names there, too. The 1500 is just – it's totally changed from 5 years ago. Like, how those races are run. Now, there was fast Diamond Leagues before, but those were the exception. And any time there was a championship race, it was just a sit-and-kick affair. And then now it's just every single race. People like run as if their time bonus is on the line at every single race. It's truly incredible. The change at that distance has overgone. And I say that because this just happens in track and field or in sports, the cyclical nature of things. An event might be down for 5, 10 years, maybe even only 2 years, but then it can pop right back up. And likewise, an event can be super exciting and then it can have some lean years as well. And the men's 1500 right now is awesome.
Spencer went from not qualifying he didn't make the NCAA indoor mile final. Then he got third in the 1500. And then he runs 3:31. That's wild.
Yeah. All right. What else do we have?
One other NCAA news. Sean Brosnan. For those who don't know, the Newberry Park coach that had the Young twins, Nico Young, the Salmon brothers, all the great, you know, basically one of the greatest high school.
The greatest.
High school cross country team on the boys' side. He took a job at UCLA last year, and it's a one and done. He was not asked to come back for a second year. He posted on his Instagram that he wanted to come back, but UCLA decided to move in a different direction. He did pretty well. I mean, UCLA's distance program was, you know, pretty solid. Let's look at their performances. I mean, they had Ronan Mohan Staggs ran 3:39 in the 1500. They had Jake Parker ran. They didn't really have a good in the 5K. So they had a really good miler. Peter Harold ran a good steeple, ran 8:35 in a steeple. What was their cross-country results, though? I guess that's what you're ultimately going to be judged on is cross-country. So what was their cross-country finish? I'm trying to remind myself. So the women finished 13th at the West region and the men finished 10th. But, hey, I mean, West region's a hard region to get out of. And UCLA hasn't always been one of the – it's not like this is an Oregon or Stanford or Colorado, you know, when it comes to the Pac-12. So I thought that it was a good year for, like, you know, you have a solid year and then you look into year two to kind of make a big push, make NCAAs as a team, you know, bring on more sub-four milers who qualify. But I don't know, UCLA decided to go a different direction. What are your thoughts on his short tenure as a collegiate coach?
Well,
and do you think he'll find a collegiate spot somewhere else?
Well, he said the reason he was let go was because other coaches were complaining that he was tampering with athletes before they were in the portal. Basically, that's what he says. That's what Brazen is contending. Like, that's where, and he also says he didn't do any of that. He didn't commit any violations, but that other coaches were complaining, and then that got back to his administration, and they just preferred to cut ties and not renew the contract. So if that's accurate, then it doesn't really have anything to do with performance, which aligns with what was going on, because yeah, the team was fine. The team was good. It's not as if they, you know, they've been a juggernaut on the men's distance side the past 10 years. And then he came in and all of a sudden they weren't good. Yeah, they had some good athletes. They had some, and they picked up athletes that were going to go there from the portal. So, I mean, I thought this quote from his, this is an article from Let's Run where it says, "We're an Olympic sport and schools just don't want to hear any noise," which again, this is his side of the story, but that sentiment I think tracks with a lot of other decisions that they make. Whereas big time college athletics, it's about just a couple of sports, and the other sports are thought of well after the footballs and basketballs of the world. So those decisions are made differently than the other ones. So it's like, hey, you know, if this is causing a problem, if there's a headache related to this particular program or this school, we'd rather not deal with it. Like, we don't want to spend the time and energy and bandwidth to deal with those sorts of issues. Again, don't know the veracity of any of this stuff. I'm just saying his point of view, because that's what he's been alleging happened there, and we haven't heard like UCLA's perspective from it. I don't think they would comment on a assistant track coach getting let go. I mean, that's not typical, or it will be some sort of boiler punts. But yeah, man, the portal and all that other stuff brings on a whole new set of challenges. And he was an outsider. He didn't come up being a, you know, it's not like he was an assistant coach the year before. He was a high school coach at one of the most high profile programs in high school running history. So that was his background in the sport. And I don't know how many people or how well connected he was either with other coaches.
That's interesting that it was potentially due to illegally talking to non-portal athletes. Is it athletes who then eventually went into the portal, or is it like just straight up? Hey,
well, so when they get into,
hey, Charles Hicks, come to my school or something. It's not like that, is it?
So once you're in the portal, you can choose, I want to be contacted or I don't want to be contacted. Once you make your selection, then if you put that you want to be contacted, coaches can contact you at that point. But yeah, like, you're not supposed to tamper, which obviously is a word you hear in a bunch of other sports, before they get into the portal. Again, not saying this is, I don't know the accuracy of these claims either way, but that's what he was saying people were accusing him of contacting these athletes before they got in. Now, listen, it's big time college athletics. In other, I don't know about track. Maybe you know more about track, but in football and basketball, I find it hard to believe that every single coach is waiting the appropriate amount of time before an athlete goes in the portal, you know, to make contact. Now, does that make it? Should the other coaches like it? 100% no. And I could see why, if you're in a non-football basketball sport and you're abiding by the rules, you want to make sure that's an even playing field for everybody else. But Yeah, and in football and basketball, I'm sure there's some gray areas being explored. Don't you think? I mean, how do you know not to contact the athlete, right? Or had the athlete's already made their decision up at that point, right? So I guess they've initiated the contact. But I mean, it's fine. It just is like NBA free agency. Wow, how do they all sign at 12:01 or 5:01 p.m.? That's crazy. They worked out an entire deal in 60 seconds, and now Shams and Woj are tweeting about it. That's insane. Like, I just find it, especially with NIL and stuff and things getting offered. Not saying that's the case with track and cross country, but with football and basketball, where there's huge decisions being made and athletic departments living and dying on the success or failure of certain teams' performances. It just, and a previous era that was rampant with recruiting violations as it pertained to transfers, like it was the Wild West before. So,
and I guess UCLA is thinking last thing we want is an Olympic sport potential NCAA violation affecting football, right? Basically. Or just the idea that this athletic department has an NCAA violation, it can murky the waters for their revenue generating sports in football and basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. The phrase you hear in NCAA investigations is lack of institutional control. Not saying that this would lead to it, but if it's one and then another and then another and then another, then you always hear those stories kind of come out, and sometimes it involves one sport if it's a big sport, i.e. football or basketball, the ones that get all the attention, or it's a combination of here are these four sports and all of them we're doing a couple things wrong. And that means the department as a whole doesn't have its house in order. We need to hit it with violations. Yeah. Like, so I understand what he's saying there. I understand what he's saying of, hey, for them, it's not even worth the headache to deal with it because it's such a small piece of the pie.
Do you think he'll get an opportunity at another school?
I mean, that's tough to say. I mean, he mentioned like pro coaching, which to me makes more sense, where you don't need to deal with that stuff at all.
But who would he coach?
Right. Fast like, people, presumably.
But no, like, it's not like there's like so many pro coaching opportunities out there. Like, our sport's kind of tiny when it comes to.
There's not. Right. The pro but world. there's also pro coaches out there whose resume, when they started, wasn't like him. They were less established too. These people coaching, all it takes is if you coach one pro athlete to success, you just build from there. That's all it takes, is like one success story, and then you can get more people coming to you. And then before I know it, you have a group.
So what you're saying is I should like, who's an athlete I could pretend I'm his assistant coach? Think I could convince one of the top athletes to put me down as their assistant coach, and my job is like, I tell them, hey, make sure you go run today. I just text them that every day. And it's like,
send them their world ranking.
And I'll tell them, hey, make sure you get out and get a jog in. And so then I get credit for guiding him to run his miles once a day.
Yeah.
Who do you think would be most willing to nominate me as their assistant coach?
I think Paul might
get Paul to be my athlete. I'm going to be his assistant coach. You know what I could do? Actually, I could probably get like a whole team. I could probably also assist. I could be the first ever assistant coach of a 110 meter hurdler and a 5K runner. So if I can, I'll text Grant, hey, make sure you run today. Text Paul, make sure you run today. And then I'm their assistant coach. And then when they win gold medals, I'm a gold medal winning coach.
Yeah. And they build your career.
I have to make sure. I got to make sure Paul's coach and that, you know, Mike Holloway okay with this scenario.
Yeah, I don't think they would get.
Well, 0% they could have nine. That. Okay, here's the thing. They could have 99.99%. Just give me 0.01%. Do you think they'll be willing to give me 0.01% of the credit?
The credit or the money?
I don't need any money. This is all free. I coach for free. Yeah.
Wow. You do it for the love.
I'm just trying to get, you know, you get the internship, unpaid intern, to get the work experience. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in 2028, I'm getting paid to text you, have a good workout.
Some thank yous. thank you to our sponsor, Wonderful Pistachios. Thank you to producer Tyler for recording with us on a Monday evening. Anything else, Gordon? Are you all good?
That's it. Thanks for everyone tuning in live on a Monday night instead of 12:30. We're going to be doing the same time the next two Mondays. I think a thing Mo's running next weekend, so she's running 400.
Talk about that.
So we can react to that. See if we'll see her on a mixed 4x4 or something. There was a Kenya tried to qualify in the mixed 4x4, but got DQ'd because of some bullshit rule where bullshit is not a curse word.
Whoa! Right at the end, you can say you get bullshit. The E tag. There's three.
No, you can.
People listen to this in the car with the kids.
You can say BS
there we go.
Any television show. Bullshit.
Yeah, but it has
not illegal.
Anyway, wrap it up. What do we got? They got DQ'd.
Anyway, they got DQ'd because one of the athletes, you know how you're supposed to be on the inside of like the exchange zone? They kind of started running into the exchange zone and they got like a running start into the exchange zone. Mm. And it was considered illegal.
Gotcha. Can't do that.
I don't know. It'd be cool though to see, you know, Mary Mora and whoever they have on the, you know, they could put together a Manuel Carrasco on a fast 400. I'll be cool to see a Kenyan mixed 4x4. I don't know. We'll see if they get
in.
They're ranked 16th. We'll see if they get in.
I love that you're keeping tabs. I love that you're keeping tabs on the mixed 4x4.
Hey, someone's got to keep the flow track site running. You know, I'm doing my best.
You don't know anything about the win loss record of the women's 100 meter candidates, but you know all about the descending order list for mixed 4x4. Good job.
Yes.
All right. Next Monday, 6 p.m. Central Time. We'll be back to talk track with you all.
We'll have rankings. We'll actually have rankings, world rankings. Bye, everyone. Like and subscribe.